Welcome to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch by interviewing authors, discussing their books, learning about the writing process, and even, on occasion, chatting live with a panel of authors to discuss topics relevant to both readers and writers. My guest today on the Online for Authors podcast is Allie Dousimer, author of the book, It's Okay Not to Be Fabulous Every Day. Allie is a published author, award-winning environmental expert, former political candidate, and an experienced life coach. In my book review, I stated, It's Okay Not to Be Fabulous Every Day by Allie Dousimer is an inspirational read, reminding us that although we should have goals and strive to reach them, we don't have to be at the top of our game every single day. In fact, it isn't possible to do so. When that is our aim, we are sure to become disappointed in ourselves. Allie began this book as a book of lessons learned for her children as they began to move away from home and start their adult lives. In the end, she realized that everyone needs these bits of wisdom. Each chapter has quotes from sources you will recognize, such as Martin Luther King Jr., but she also throws in Yoda. In fact, Allie is willing to share truth wherever she finds it to help each of us live a more fulfilled life. I think this book would be a perfect source of daily inspiration and could easily be used for prompts for daily journal writing. It is not a one-and-done book. Instead, it will stay on your bedside table for easy access whenever life seems just a little bit too hard. Welcome to Online for Authors. Today I'm talking to Allie Dousimer, author of It's Okay Not to Be Fabulous Every Day. Welcome, Allie.
Thanks, Terry. I'm super excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you. Before we get started, why don't you give everyone just like a quick overview of what is this book?
Absolutely. So It's Okay Not to Be Fabulous Every Day fills a unique niche in the self-help space. The book seeks to ignite a sense of motivation and foster positivity towards helping everybody maximize their true potential. And it does this in under 2 hours, which is how it's unique from other self-help books. Right. I've stripped away the fluff and the redundancies to try and get to the heart of that self-discovery journey. Because so many of us find ourselves in a space where we have self-doubt and self-recrimination. Right. And so starting there, we move through self-acceptance and hope and ultimately come to self-love and just a way to embrace our destinies and fulfill our potentials so that we can achieve true happiness and success. And I define success as being happy with who we are and where we are in life.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great definition because it does encompass even other people's ideas of success. You know, are you happy with yourself and where you are in life? And if you are, then you're very successful. Right?
Yes. Yes. Because too often we get caught up in that materialistic world. And, the old Beatles song, Money Can't Buy You Love. Well, money certainly can buy you comfort and ease and get rid of a lot of the stressors in your life that can bring unhappiness. But true, genuine happiness comes from within and doesn't have a monetary value.
Exactly. In fact, there was a study done that showed that over a certain amount of money, and I don't know what the amount is, and so I'm not going to try to state it, but over a certain amount of money made actually does not bring on any more happiness.
Yeah.
Up to that amount does add to happiness, but it's for the reasons you said. It's because then you're not struggling to keep a roof over your head and you're not struggling to put food on your table. But once you're past those struggles and you have just enough left over for a few creature comforts, everything else really doesn't bring any kind of happiness.
No.
So what made you to decide to write this book?
Yeah, that's a good question because I didn't set out to write a book. This actually started as advice to my kids. I called it the blue typewriter. I don't know why. And, my we were going through a lot of turbulence. My husband had been diagnosed with cancer and ultimately passed, and then my mother got sick, and there were a lot of things going on right. in our lives, and my kids were transitioning into new schools at the time, and I started writing this as life advice for them, you know, how to move forward. And right in the beginning of the book, I say it all boils down to the golden rule, you know, be kind, be humble, and do your best. You know, treat others as you would want them to treat you, kind of thing. Right. And it just evolved and morphed, and I shared it with the kids, and they both loved it, and they shared it with their friends, and it just sort of evolved. And somebody said, you know, you should put this in a book. And I thought, oh, I don't know. And then I thought, oh, I should put this in a book. Sure, why not? And I became sort of an author by accident. and I've actually been really pleased with the result. And I discovered maximizing my own potential, inspiring and igniting my own motivation and positivity, that I loved writing. I really enjoyed the process. And this is something that I wanted to do. And I've always secretly wanted to be a writer, but I never really thought I could do it. You know, was never told this was a career path for me, kind of right. thing.
Most people do not recommend author as career path. That is
no, definitely not. But anyway, I ended up writing the book, as I said, sort of by accident. It started as a life advice for my kids and became something more.
Fantastic. Is there a piece of advice in your book that's like your favorite?
Yeah, be kind to yourself. You know, I talk a lot about, you know, the whole title, right? It's okay not to be fabulous every day, right? And I actually am going to be, hey, your listeners are the first to know I'm going to be redesigning my cover, because the word fabulous stands out too much, and people don't really understand that it's different from what it is, because the truth is, it's okay not to be fabulous every day. You know, we don't have to be, you know, our Instagram personas, whatever. And the thing that I really want people, if they take nothing else from my book, is to grace yourself kindness, grace yourself space, time to heal emotionally, psychologically, time to just have a day off, time to take for yourself. You know, if you wake up, I talk about an experience. So my book is set up where there's a little quote from somebody famous, and then there's a little sort of nut of advice, and then a personal anecdote or story. And I talk in early on in the book about how I woke up one day and I just didn't want to get out of bed. I was like, what's the point? Right.
Right.
You know, and I don't mean to be a downer here, but it's like, my husband's dead. My mother's dead. My kids are gone, you know?
Right. And right. I mean, and we all have those moments.
We all have those days. And I got up out of bed because I was like, okay, I gotta get up. And because at the root, I am a positive person. And I got up out of bed, and I ended up making soup and playing with the cat and then watching TV and going back to bed. And I never got dressed. But you know, instead of being like, oh, I'm such a failure, I'm such a loser, instead, I turned that around and I said, you know what? I made soup. I have something to eat for the week. I played with my cat. My cat is happy now. So these were good things, and they were accomplishments. And I talk about lowering the bar, because sometimes you have to grace yourself some kindness. And I think that would be the one takeaway that I hope people would get from my book.
Right. When I was reading that section, I thought, you know, I do that a lot, where you want to downplay what you have accomplished. And then I stop and I say, okay, what have I done today? I don't feel well. Today isn't a great day, but I managed to get 2 loads of laundry done. My kitchen is not in total disarray, and everyone was fed today.
Yeah.
Not bad.
You know, that's great.
And so it's changing your mindset to acknowledge that not every day is a 100% day.
That's right.
No, really, they're all 100%. They just look different, because 100% today is very different than what 100% might be tomorrow.
That's right. And also, that downtime, That downtime is not nothingness. That downtime is your mind and body restoring and rejuvenating.
Right.
So you're actively helping yourself heal by doing that.
Yeah. I love that. I really enjoyed that aspect of the book, that understanding of like who I am and that it's okay to be me and that I don't have to be superwoman.
Because you are superwoman. You are a superwoman. You are fabulous.
But I don't have to be that superwoman persona.
No,
you know, that
because
idea
it doesn't
that,
matter what other people right, think. It really right. doesn't.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, especially as women, we put so much pressure on ourselves, right? We put so much pressure on ourselves to be there for other people. We sacrifice our needs, our wants for others. You know, it starts when we're young. We have to be the good girl for our parents. And then we try to be the good partner or spouse. And then we're there for our kids and we sacrifice for them. And, you know, it's interesting. And I've said this a couple of times, but I remember sitting down this Thanksgiving with my kids. And I realized it was the first hot Thanksgiving meal I had eaten in decades, because prior to that, we would have family over or friends over or whatever. And if somebody needed a drink refill or they needed their napkin or they needed this or they need, I'll get it.
Yeah, sure.
And by the time I sat down to eat, my meal was cold. And this was the first Thanksgiving I'd eaten a hot meal, because as women, we just put ourselves second. We put our needs second. And it's so important that we don't do that, that we take time for ourselves and recreate and rejuvenate so that we can be inspired and motivated.
I agree. I think that the social media has made things worse, because you only get to see a little snippet of someone's life and you only get to see the snippet that they show you. Mm-hmm. And so the likelihood is they're not going to tell you that today was a terrible day and that all they could manage to do was get out of bed.
Yeah, I think
instead they're going to only post on the good days, and they're only going to post the good part of the good days.
Right.
You know, I watch my daughter. She has three children. They are 5, 2, an infant. And so she's busy.
Got her hands full.
And she's tired. Mm-hmm. You know, the baby's nursing and she's up in the night and all of the things. And she looks at social media and sometimes thinks that she's not good enough, that she's not doing it enough, because so-and-so dresses all of their kids in matching outfits on Sunday, mm-hmm. or so-and-so does these fantastic art projects, or whatever it is that she's comparing it to. And I have to keep reminding her that if we look at just her Facebook page, she too looks like the same kind of supermom. Yeah. Because she only posts it when her kids are doing the cute things or the, you know, so mm-hmm. yeah. I think that that's something that, that we need to recognize is that we're all out here doing the best that we can do and give ourselves grace and give other people grace as well.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. I actually have a hope on that front. Social media is still relatively new in terms mm-hmm. of communication capability. And I'm so inspired by young people. I think they are so much more creative and adventuresome and honest in a lot of ways than older generations, certainly than my generation. And I feel like, and I hope I'm right, I feel like social media will evolve as it becomes more mature and as kids become more mature. You know, the younger people who mm-hmm. are currently in that, you know, 12 to 25 bracket, as they age and mature, I feel like social media will also become a place where people share more honestly, because, you know, they're immature. They don't want people to think poorly of them. I'm sure you were like that at that age. I know I certainly was.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, right. And I remember my mom telling me one time that when she was dating, when she was, you know, in college and she was dating, that she would eat before she went on a date because women weren't supposed to eat a lot.
Like, women were only supposed to nibble.
She would eat before she went so that she could sit there and look dainty and be like, oh no, I'm just going to have three mouthfuls. So I think that's a function of age. And as these, you know, as these young people become parents and grandparents, and over the next 20, 30, 40 years, I am hopeful that social media will evolve into a much more honest form of communication.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful, because right now it doesn't feel like that. You know, no. You have to be very careful that you don't fall into that trap of, I am not as good as whoever it is that you're looking at, because like I said, you only get to see a little snippet and only the piece that they show you. Right.
Yes. And we already feel that anyway. We don't even need social media.
Right. We don't need social media to do that. It only makes it better.
We already feel compared. You know, we walk into a friend's house and it's all neat and tidy, and you're like, no, you can't come to my home.
Right.
There's dishes in my sink and whatever.
So you use a lot of quotes.
I do.
And I found it really interesting that you used quotes from, like, I don't know, Thomas Edison or Martin Luther King, but you also used quotes from like Led Zeppelin and Yoda. So you didn't just stick to these wise people that we considered wise, you know, that would be taught about in a history class or something. Mm-hmm. You used the whole spectrum of society. Why did you choose to do it that way as opposed to sticking with, you know, the more traditional idea of wisdom?
Right. Because I genuinely believe wisdom can be found everywhere if you're open to it. And so, you know, if you have Led Zeppelin and you're listening to, there's still time to change the road you're on. Well, that's huge, because here I am, you know, a very mature adult with adult kids, and I changed the road I was on. Right. I completely changed the road I was on. In fact, I did that multiple times. And, you know, Yoda, and I've used this one with my kids all the time, right? You know, do or do not.
Do not.
There is no try. Just do it, right? It's like the Nike swoosh. Just do it. It's the hardest thing in the world to just do it, but it's really simple in concept. And I got to tell you, all of those sticky notes came from my kitchen cabinets. Every time I saw a quote that I found personally inspiring over the last 20, 30 years, I've put it on a little sticky and stuck it on my kitchen cabinet. My daughter did make me take all them off because she said it was an eyesore, because I had literally 3 full cabinets full of stickies. I stuck them all in a folder. And then when I went to write this, you know, advice for my kids, I'm like, well, this is advice that I tell them all the time. Run on to the end of your dreams, which is actually a quote I didn't use in the book, because I only used about 40% of my sticky notes in the book.
Well, it sounds like there's a volume 2 that could happen then.
Yeah, I don't think so, Terry.
You don't think so?
I'm done with the self-help space. It's not where I want to be. And I'm not in it to try and, you know, there's plenty of people in the self-help space who are like, I'm going to be the self-help guru. Mel Robbins, or I am Ed Milet, or I'm whoever, you know, the woman who just did Worthy. Woman has got it on the marketing front, right? Like, wow. But that's not what I don't want to do that. I want to bring positivity. That's genuinely what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it's okay not to be fabulous every day. It's all about helping someone understand that they can find positivity in their life as they move forward. And so I'm switching genres. And I woke up one morning and I thought, you know what? I would love to write a book called Jack and Ginger. And so I did. So I'm writing it now.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. And that, you know, it's there's 2 kinds of writers. There's the plotters and the pantsers, I guess they call them.
So and which are you?
Outlines everything. You know, in 11th grade, I had to do, you know, 11th grade high school, you have to do this major term paper, right? Everyone's got to do their big term paper. And I can't remember what it was, but we had to turn in our outlines. We had to turn in our annotated outlines by a certain date. Well, I couldn't write an outline. I had no idea what I was going to write. So I just wrote my paper. And then from that, I pulled an outline out of it so I could turn it in on time. So I'm, you know, I'm going to sit down and just start writing and see what happens.
So Allie is a pantser, just like Terry. Pantster, yeah.
So I don't want to do another self-help style book, because I feel like I've said what I wanted to say. And the whole point of my book is that it strips out all that redundancy and fluff. So why create another one if it's just going to basically say the same thing?
Right.
You know, that's what I personally think, that's what makes my book unique compared to the hundreds and thousands of others that are out there, because, you know, they all say the same thing I do, but they say it in 300 pages, 500 pages, 250 pages. You know, for mine, you can pick it up, you can read it a page at a time, because it's designed to be chunked out. You can literally, each section is a standalone, unique section that can be read. It's just one page. And I've had people tell me they use it as a daily motivational. I've had a lot of people email and say whenever they start to feel like they're in a rut or they're unhappy or they're in a grind, whatever, they'll flip to the section of the book that deals with that and they'll read my little snippet about it. And it's helped them. And as far as I'm concerned, if my book has helped people, I'm successful as an author for that book.
Absolutely. I know that in, I did a review of your book, and in my review, I said that, you know, it's a book you should leave on your nightstand. Yeah. You know, it's one of those books that you could read and you read all the way through. And that's what I did, but you can't absorb everything that you've read because there's a lot of wisdom and a lot of things that you don't necessarily need at that time when you're reading it. So you've read it and you understood it, but it just kind of came and it went. But like you said, if you're dealing with a time where, I don't know, you're just feeling stuck or overwhelmed or anxious or whatever it is, you can go to that book and open up and read that section that now will have way more meaning to you because that's where you are at this moment. So I don't feel like it's a one and done kind of book.
I hope people do that. I really hope they do that because our journey towards maximizing our potential, towards self-fulfillment, towards being who we can be, towards success and happiness, towards finding true inner joy is not linear. You know, you're going to take a few steps forward, you're going to take a couple steps back. You know, you're going to take a few steps forward, you're going to hit a brick wall.
You know, so to the side, and then you're going to go to the other side.
Exactly. So it's not, you know, the arc of the book is a journey that has a lot of multiple steps back, forth, sideways, as you said. Right. So I hope people do come back to it and read it over and over because that's how it's intended to be read.
Yeah, fantastic. Who would you say your audience is? Men, women, older, younger?
Yeah, that's a great question and something that I've been trying to figure out a lot. The people who seem to buy the book most are women who are 45 to 65, but it's not by a huge margin. And I was looking more closely at some of the information and actually talking with people. Like I've been talking to a lot of people and the people who have read my book, some of them are like, oh yeah, it's a great book. Yeah. And then others are like, it really spoke to me. I really needed to hear this message. And I realized the common denominator, Terry, is that people who really need my book are people who are going through change. Who are going through transitions, you know, whether that transition is you're going from high school into college and dealing those things or high school into the workforce or college into the workforce, or you're entering a new relationship or
exiting
a relationship.
Right.
You know, people who have been divorced, who have lost a spouse, people who, you know, and I think the reason the 45 to 65 year old female demographic is because these are women who have, you know, they live their lives, they've had their careers, they're maybe thinking about retirement or looking at retirement, maybe they're divorced, maybe they're widowed, their kids have left. You know, that's a real inflection point in their lives.
It is.
And I think the book really is targeted towards people who are at inflection points, who are at positions of uncertainty, you know, which path to take. You know, you're being told you should do X, Y, Z, but I don't know. Do I really want to do that?
Is that what I want to do?
Know.
Right.
So that's who I think could benefit most from my book.
Right. And I agree. I think that is why you see women of that age group that seem to be clustering around the book. We're going through empty nest. We're going through potentially starting back into the workforce after being a stay-at-home mom, or potentially looking for a change in your job now that you don't have to worry about the children at home, or all of those things that start happening, or even things like moving from the community that you've lived in all your life. And now you're moving to more of a retirement area where you plan to spend that next chapter. And all of those things can be really difficult. Change is not easy.
Change is not easy. And I think we also get to a point of reevaluation when we get to that age and you're like, what have I done with my life? Yeah. I always wanted to be a ballerina and I never did it.
Yeah.
And so it's important to, you know, to really take some time and sit within yourself. And I think my book helps provide a guide for that.
does. It absolutely does. So your book recently won a, let me read this, a Red Ribbon Award winner for the Wishing Shelf Book Awards. So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
How did that feel when you got your award?
you know, it felt great. It did feel great. It's terrible, but my first thought was, could I have done better?
Oh, go read your book.
I know. Well, you know, what's interesting is that's exactly what I ended up doing.
Right.
That was my first instinct, my gut, because, you know, like so many women of my generation, we were raised in a way that left us with low self-esteem and all these other things. And
if, so my first thought was, first place, oh, you're not good
and
enough.
I was like, no, this is great. It's my first book ever.
And you have an award.
And I won an award. And it's the first award I've ever been entered in. So, wow. How's that?
Wow.
So,
I mean, one for one. How can
I'm
you?
I'm one for ever, one. I got 100% track record.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So. I was really super excited to see that when it came out. I saw it on your social media, and I was really excited to see that.
Thank you.
So you alluded to it. You're going to have a new cover.
Yeah.
And you told me that part of that reason is because of this award, that you had some feedback.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about what you're planning to do. And is like this anything to do with rebranding at all? Or is it just for this book alone? Like what? I've never considered changing a cover. And so I'm just curious, like, how does that even work? How does that even work?
Yeah, great questions. I don't know. I've never changed a cover either, having never written a book before. And it is part of a rebranding. So as we talked about early in this discussion, I never intended to be an author. I ended up deciding, okay, well, I'm going to put this book out there.
Right.
And so I had a website created that fit the feel of the book and, you know, color palette and blah, blah, blah. Well, now I've decided, this is a career path that I want to pursue. I would like to be a full-time professional writer. But I don't want to write just self-help books. I want to write whatever I want to write. I want to write, you know, my next book is a children's book. So that makes you a multi-genre author. Well, multi-genre doesn't work with my color scheme, and it doesn't work with my fonts, and it doesn't work with my, you know, my whole brand. So I've actually spent the last few weeks trying to figure out what is my brand? Who am I? Who am I as a writer? Who am I going to be? And trying to come down with those, the common elements. And I've decided that I'm going to write multiple genres. So I'm a multi-genre author. And at the core of everything is trying to be positive, which is why I've put myself as a positivity guru. That is part of my new branding, because frankly, everything I've done in my life, and that goes back to my childhood and a lot of things that we definitely don't have time to go into. but everything I've done has been in order to benefit others in some way. You know, I worked for 30 years in the environmental space, basically trying to save the planet, you know, for lack of a better way of putting that. And I ran for Congress because I wanted to make a positive difference in this district, especially for disadvantaged groups like single moms and immigrants and others who, frankly, were being very overlooked until I ran. And then I ended up putting you can't be fabulous. It's okay to be not to be fabulous every day is a way to help people feel better. So everything I've done has been positivity. And I've had lots of people tell me that I'm such a positive person. And I never internalized that until recently. And I thought, I am a positive person because I choose to be and because I help myself get there.
Right.
And so I'm going to be doing an entire rebrand. I'm going to be redoing my website. I'm going to do the cover of the book over. That has more to do with the cover not aligning with the message, which was feedback I had received, that the cover looked more like a novel than a self-help book. So I'm going to try to simplify it. My friend who painted the work that I used as the cover, what I asked her to create was a dark space in the back with a person coming out and trying to be fabulous, even though there's darkness in the background. And I think it was too clever. And people weren't picking up on it. So, I mean, I heard you talk about your amazing cover, Enemy Like Me, with the reflection of the uniform
right.
in the water, which is just, you know, and you didn't even see it at first, and then people don't see it. So I think, you know, that first of all, that cover's amazing, and you know, you, and congratulations on your award.
Yeah,
it's well deserved. But I think I was being too clever with my cover. And so I'm just going to simplify it and make it a little easier so that people can tell from the cover what the book is, because sadly, as we all know, people do judge a book by its cover.
They do.
The vast majority of people buy a book based on the cover. So
yeah, we're told don't judge a book by its cover, yet that is exactly what people do. In fact, people look at the cover first, they flip it over, they read the little blurb on the back.
Yeah.
That's second. Yeah. If you're famous, that helps. But if you're not, who you are doesn't matter at all.
Nope.
Like you as an author, has almost no bearing. And then often they will, if they're convinced by the cover and the blurb on the back, they may open it up and read a page or two.
Right.
And that is it. That's, if you haven't caught them by that point, then you're not going to catch them. And that's...
Yes.
That is a true statement.
And yeah, that's also how we're wired, right?
Yes.
You know, we judge people in a flash.
We do.
We judge situations in a flash. And it's a survival instinct. It's hardwired into us. So.
Right. You have to think really hard to not do that. You have to,
yes.
You have to purposefully step back and say, I am not going to make a decision based on one encounter.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a good thing, because when I first met my husband, I was not looking for anyone else. I was done with marriage. I had had a really bad, I'd been divorced twice. I wasn't doing it again. You know, it was like, why would anyone choose to do this a third time?
Right.
And I met him, and I met him at church, and he was very stiff and very formal. And I thought that he looked like an undertaker. I just could see that we would have nothing in common, that this was going to be, you know, this was horrible. And then as it turns out, he is fun loving and not stiff and formal at all. And, you know, totally not what I thought on that first, you know, so first impressions, I mean, they're wonderful in some respects, but, you know, to be able to take a step back. But it's good then that you're doing that for your cover, to give people a better first impression so that they'll want to flip it over onto the back and they'll want to open it up. Because once they open it up, they'll want to read it.
I hope so. Thanks for saying
that.
So
it's a matter of getting that open. I know what rebranding is like. It is difficult. So when my first book came out, I didn't know anything about branding. I knew nothing about marketing. I knew nothing. Right. And out comes my book, Sunflowers Beneath the Snow. So what did I do? I created a website that was covered in sunflowers. Everything was sunflowers.
Right.
Sunflower bookmarks and sunflower, you know, everything.
It's a great gardening tool.
Right. And it was beautiful until I wrote a second book that had nothing to do with sunflowers.
Right.
And so then I kind of went more with a historical fiction look for a while, until I recognized I don't always want to write historical fiction. I have other stories in my head. I'm a character-driven fiction author, is what I tell people.
Right.
I love a good character. If you love a good character and you want to start with that character and find out where that character ends, you won't care if I set it during World War II, 1890s in the Appalachian Mountains, or today.
Right.
Like, you're going to want to go with the character. So then I thought, okay, I've got to rebrand completely. And so I understand it's tough, but I think most authors go through it.
Yeah.
They don't know when they get started what they're going to become. They don't know yet.
Right. It's a learning curve.
Right.
It's a huge learning curve. In fact, there's so much to learn, you know, and you've talked before about this, but the whole marketing thing, like, it never occurred to me when I started writing a book that I would also have to become a marketing specialist.
Right.
Like, I don't know anything about marketing.
I knew nothing about
majored
marketing.
In English and psychology. It's got nothing to do with that. Yeah. But
right. And see, and I felt the same way. My book came out and I literally sat in front of my computer and waited for it to sell. And when that didn't happen, it was like, oh, well, I better figure this out pretty fast.
Right.
So yeah, it's but I love the idea that you're rebranding. Can I ask, like, what's your color scheme going to be? What have you decided?
I don't know yet.
You haven't figured it out?
Well, this is interesting. So I'm actually going to have a professional photograph taken, as opposed
awesome.
To what's there now, which is you know, snaps from my iPhone.
Right.
And I did this when I ran for Congress. I had a professional photographer take my picture for my website. And realized that if I'm going to be marketing, if I'm going to treat this as a business, if I'm going to be serious about pursuing this as a career where I can actually make a living, because it's a very crowded space and a lot of people don't want to buy books. They just want freebies. And while I appreciate that, you know, I would like to be able to earn a living.
Exactly.
I don't have to live fat on the land or whatever, but you know, enough to pay my bills, that I need to treat it like a professional venture. So I'm going to have a professional, photograph, done, and I'm going to let the expert choose what color scheme looks good for me based on the background and, you know, whatever top I end up wearing. And I'm going to go with that. So
sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
Let the expert decide. That's my motto.
Yes. I went with bright.
Yes.
And it's because it makes me happy. And so I thought if it makes me happy, then it'll make everybody else happy. And so
it's bright. The orange pops. And it also speaks to you, I think, as a brand, because I think ultimately there's a lot of hope and inspiration in your books as well.
There
so
is,
I think that's reflected in your brand.
Well, thank you. Thank you. One of the things that I found is that in the marketing is that you don't really market your books as much as you market yourself, and your books are kind of like a byproduct of you. And so people want to get to know you. So Allie, they want to know, you know, like, what do you eat when you're writing, and where do you write, and do you have to sit in a certain way, or is there a certain time of day, or, you know, those are the kinds of things that they want to know. And when I realized that, I kind of made my logo. It's just a picture of me. It's my picture. And I just have, you know, things around me that, you know, have, you know, Terry M. Brown author, and it's got my website. And I did that because that's who I am. And rather than try to reinvent myself every time I write a new book, I am me, and I can be me with all of my books. And that's the easiest thing. I had to, I had to think about ease for myself, because I just can't be. I'm having a podcast at the end of April where we're talking about pen names. And I'm really curious about that, because I cannot imagine trying to write under a pen name, simply because I would forget who I was at all times. I have enough trouble keeping up with myself, let alone me and me 2.0. I just
So I think a lot of the people who write under pen names, especially if they're writing under more than one name, like not someone who picks a pen name and that's their name,
right?
But someone who writes under multiple names, I think that they have more experience than we do. You know, you're on your third book. Some of these people are on their 30th book, their 40th book, which blows my mind.
And maybe there's, I don't know. Well, I'm going to have a good conversation about it. I hope to learn a lot and find out, like, what is the reasoning behind it? I just can't imagine that I would ever want to be more than me. So,
well, I'll be writing under a different name, sort of, for my children's series. I'm planning a series. I'm obviously just on the first one. So I wrote the first book under Allie Dalsimer, my name.
Right.
But the second book, the children's series, and if I do any others, I will write under A.A. Dalsimer.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
To differentiate them.
But so it's still you.
It is still me. Yeah. Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not doing soft porn or anything like that. Right. So I don't feel like I need to make sure it's a different, you know, it's not like the Anne Rampling kind of thing.
Right.
You know, I just, or, you know, J.K. Rowling writes under Robert Galbraith because it's a completely different genre and she doesn't want to confuse her readers. So I get that. I also think that if you're writing in a completely different genre, you're in a completely different headspace. So maybe it's not so hard to keep.
I think that it would be okay in the writing space to be thinking of yourself as someone else. I have trouble imagining, like, how do you market it?
I don't know.
You know, you can't go on a podcast as Robert when you're obviously not a Robert.
So in looking at websites that, you know, for my rebranding, for redoing my websites, I chose one of my favorite authors. I have several, but one of my favorite authors is Anthony Horowitz. And he writes a lot of different genres. And he writes, you know, the Alex Rider series, which is a teen spy series. He writes for Midsummer Murders, and he's writing the new Bond, and he's done a, you know, he did a Sherlock Holmes, The House of Silk, and, you know, he's all over the place. And I used his website as the model.
Right.
You know, that's the model that I'm using, because he's, you know, it's like you said, your brand is you.
Right.
And I feel like he has really managed to, you know, do what he needs to do very well. He's obviously been doing it for a very long time.
Longer than my 2 years.
Yeah. He's done it as well, you know, for his whole lifetime.
Right.
Obviously he's good, but I think that, he's managed to capture it well, because he is at the core of all of his products, all of his genres. Yep. And it's very clear. It's very easy to see on his website. Now, he doesn't write under different pen names, as far as I know. But he does really, I think, do a good job of, as you said, marketing his himself.
Who he is.
Who right. he is.
Right. And this is who I am. And then these are the different wares I have to offer you.
Exactly.
This genre. And yeah, yeah. I like
but
that.
But you know,
idea.
We're on a learning curve, Terry, and you're,
oh, I know
you're
I
further
am.
Ahead of it on it than I am. But, you know, if we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
I believe it. So do you want to tell us just a little bit about your children's series? I would love to hear. The first one you said was Jack and Ginger.
Yes. It's called Jack and Ginger, An Unexpected Friendship. And it's about an unexpected friendship between a cat and a mouse. And I don't want to tell too much about it.
No.
I'm still in the manuscript revision, rewrite, revise, you know, blah, 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 blah. It takes a while to do all that. But I'm hoping that it will be out this year, towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's at its core, it's a journey of adventure and exploration. It's about friendship and bravery and doing what's right, even when it's hard. And it's about just being a true and genuine friend.
Pretty much exactly what your book, It's Okay Not to Be Fabulous Every Day, is doing for adults. It's doing that for children, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's why I'm going with Positivity Guru,
exactly.
Because everything seems to have this common theme that I myself had not been aware of till others pointed it out to me.
Others started showing you that that's where it was.
Yeah.
I'm curious for my own personal, are you doing the illustrations, or did you find someone who's going to do them for you?
The illustrations have been tough. So, I found someone to do the illustrations, an amazing artist, and got the art. However, by the time we got to the point where I've got the illustrations and the art, there was several. So I contacted him early on when I was just thinking about this storyline,
right,
and what
right.
it was going to be, and loved his art. It's a little edgy. It's just fun. It's wholesome, but quirky. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's so cool. I love that art. And unfortunately, now that I have finished writing the book, I'm now thinking it's not the right. I love his art. I love his work. I just don't think it's the right fit for the book, which has a very sweet kind of old fashioned,
not
Winnie the
so
Pooh-esque
edgy.
Kind
not
of
so edgy and quirky.
Not edgy, not bold in that sense. And so I'm currently in discussions with someone else to see if she can illustrate.
Okay.
Illustrate the book, and I'm hoping that it works out because her art is perfect. But we're still very early discussions
yeah.
on that.
Yeah. That's a whole area of authorship that you are further ahead than I am. I wouldn't have a clue how to get started on children's literature.
Well, if you ever decide to do it, I'll be happy to sit down with you so that
Fantastic.
You don't make all the very
the
many mistakes I made. I will save you those months of aggravation, Terry. I'll just
thank you
we'll just
so
cut
much.
To the chase, okay?
Thank you so much. Yes, that's so perfect.
Yeah. And you know, I'll be honest with you, if this doesn't work out with the illustrator, I will not be able to put my book out this year.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm not
going to
put
time.
It out without it.
Right.
And it does. It takes time. And to have a real artist really doing quality work for you, it takes time, and they don't need to be rushed, and they need to be, you know, they need to be compensated, and they need to be given artistic freedom, and they're publishing their book as much as you're publishing yours.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Because their name goes on that cover too.
Yes,
illustrated by. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So Allie, if someone wanted to get in touch with you because they want more positivity in their life, or they want to talk to you about, you know, your current projects coming up, or anything like that, how do they do that?
Multiple ways. You can reach me through basically all the social media, as well as my website, which is alliedalsimer.com, or you can just email me. I'm fully accessible. My email is allie@alliedalsimer.org. There is a contact page on the on the website as well,
yes,
if that's easier. But I would love to connect with people. I do have a newsletter that goes out twice a month. You can sign up for it. It's a free newsletter, and I try to provide positivity guidance. I have my 5 minutes of fabulosity, where I try to give people advice that they can use in their lives. And I've gone through a process, so you can go back and look at older issues where we talk about dealing with grief and loss and move forward. And now it's about achieving goals. So, and I'll continue to morph those topics as we move on, because life is a progression. But all of those old issues are available on my Substack page, which you have access to if you sign up for the newsletter.
Fantastic. Well, Allie, I want to thank you so much for being with me today. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm really glad that we've connected.
Thank you for listening to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch. Tune in next Tuesday for another podcast episode.